Okay, so today we are going to be covering the last bit of tissues. If I can find my remote, there it is. All right, we're going to be covering muscular tissue and nervous tissue. This is a very small set, so you'll see there's not a whole lot on these tissues on your quiz. It's going to be more on tissue repair, because there's just not a whole lot about it. Okay, all right, so we're looking at muscle tissue first. This is,
What is that?
yeah, there's music playing.
I can't.
Thank you.
I
That would have annoyed me in a second.
can't because of my
Yeah,
arm.
I didn't hear it because I was talking, but as soon as I would have taken a break, I would have been like, what is that? Yeah, I don't know why there's music playing. I'm a little concerned that there's music playing. Like, why is it playing? But I wasn't the last person in here either, so. Anyway, muscle tissue is highly vascularized. What does that mean?
Highly vascularized, that means it has a lot of blood, like transporting blood, it
And
stores
how do you do
the
that?
veins.
Yeah, there's lots of vessels and veins and things like that going through it. This is your muscles. There's tons of, why would we need a lot of vascular, why would we need it highly vascularized? Go deeper than that. What do you mean? Make what work? What do your muscles do? They contract to do what? To produce movement. If I'm doing muscle contractions, what do I need to do that? Energy. What do I need to make energy? What organelle makes energy? Mitochondria, through the process of cellular respiration. What do I need for cellular respiration to take place? That's what it makes. Oxygen. You need oxygen and you need what else? The substrate. Glucose. How am I going to get it there? In the blood. So you need lots of blood vessels going through because I have to do cellular respiration a lot. Otherwise, you're going to be running and then you're just going to go whoop and just fly forward and fall because your muscles stop working because you don't have energy. So you just and it makes that noise. I mean, it can make whatever noise I want because it doesn't happen, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so this whole process of the contractions, they're going to be with the microfilaments. So we're going to have the actin and the myosin proteins. They're going to latch on and actually pull the muscle along the microfilament. This requires ATP for that to happen, okay? This is why a body goes into rigor mortis. After death, because you need ATP to release the contraction. So the cells run out of ATP and the muscles stay contracted. So it's in stuck in its position. And the only reason it releases because the muscles or the tissues decay enough to where the myosin head releases. Okay? Does that make sense? Sort of. All right. So there's three types of muscle tissues, skeletal, cardiac, and smooth. They have some have very distinct characteristics. You're like, yeah, they do. Skeletal muscle, it's going to be striated. That's the lines. It's very, very regular the way they're laid out. Okay? That's because we have our filaments, our microfilaments, all in a row. So that they can contract together. Okay, we want the whole muscle to contract all together. You don't want part of your arm to contract and the other not while you're trying to lift something. I feel like that would be painful. You're going to drop it too. Or you're running and part of your leg contracts and the other's just like, and it's gonna make that I'm sorry, my noises are funny. Anyway. Skeletal muscle is voluntary. Voluntary. I choose to do this. My brain is telling my body to do this, but my conscious brain, okay? We'll talk about what part of the brain that is later.
But muscle isn't.
Skeletal muscle is voluntary muscle. It's what you choose to do. Your eyelids are controlled by voluntary muscles. that skeletal muscles. Think about your blinking. Think about how you're blinking. Blink regular. Blink how you were blinking a few seconds ago. Have you stopped blinking? You've stopped blinking.
Just close my eyes.
Oh, you're blinking too much now. Your breathing's voluntary too. Breathe normally. Think about your breathing. Focus in on your breathing. How do you breathe normally? How many breaths do you take per second? Not too many per second. In most classes. Ooh. That burned. Wake up. She's not breathing over here. Don't pass out. Then you go involuntary and you'll breathe properly. Mine's fast. I talk too fast and I moved around. Just breathe. Breathe quickly. Breathe quickly and then you'll wake up. Or you can stand up. Run around a little bit.
Hmm?
Yeah, if you breathe too fast, that's hyperventilation. And then the vessels in your brain constrict. And then because the acidic level increases in your blood. And then you pass out. Fun times. They had a pass out challenge when I was a kid. It wasn't a challenge. It's, you get down, you breathe in like really rapidly. You get up and you do this and someone pushes on your chest and then you pass out. We had to stop doing it because someone died. I say we. I mean my generation. I mean this is well before. And then clearly we know that kills people now. Like that can mess with your heart and can kill you. Yeah, so we don't do that anymore. Anyway, excuse me. The cells in this are called muscle fibers. They are multinucleated. What does that mean? Yep, so you can see here. This is the cell. They're going to be long cells. They're going to span the muscle. So this all here is one of the cells, and it contains many, many nuclei. Okay? So it's one of the multinucleated ones. Okay? Muscle is typically going to attach to bone. It attaches to skin as well, but skeletal muscle. All right, next one is cardiac muscle. Cardiac muscle is found where? In the heart. It is only found in the walls of the heart. It is completely involuntary, but it's not involuntary in the sense that it's controlled by your brain. Okay? It is not controlled by the brain. It has its own control. It's self-controlled. The heart actually develops prior to the brain development. So the heart must be able to beat without the brain. This is why when someone in the hospital is pronounced brain dead, they'll be on life support. So it'll be breathing for them, but there's nothing hooked up to make their heart pump because the heart will pump independent of the brain. Okay. It is not striated. So you can see there's no striations in it. Each cell has only one nucleus. It does have striations, just not the same as the other ones. Yeah, so it has them in there. It's not striated like skeletal muscle is. Smooth muscle is not striated at all. What are the four chambers of the heart? No. The aorta is a right and left ventricle, left and right atrium. So we have the atriums at the top, the ventricles at the bottom. Okay? The atriums are at the top, the ventricles are at the bottom. When you look at them on a heart, the ventricles are going to be like a thin slice. And then these are going to be more rounded. Okay. What's the purpose of cardiac muscle? To push the blood through the body. Yeah, it's a circuit and it wants to push it through the body. Yes.
I want to ask, is it still backwards when you look at it? So is the right atrium over here or no?
So it's like this, right atrium's over here, left over there. Because you got to think about how it is on you. Because you're seeing it like this. Not on, yeah. Like the lab book?
The actual book?
No, they have electronic, I think. You guys had electronic or you guys got the real book? Oh, no, they got the real book.
No.
Oh. Oh, well. Who's that? Oh, she's in biology, though, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know if she wants. You know, if she wants to break me. Oh, what? Okay. You know, I can help her if she needs help. All right. Smooth muscle. It's called smooth because it does not have striations. This is involuntary control, involuntary controlled by the brain. You cannot control this, which is great. You do not want to be controlling your digestion. Because I'd be like, dude, I just ate a lot. Hang on one second. I got to work on this digestion. Got to focus. Okay, there we go. Churn that cinnamon roll. Yeah, I ate a cinnamon roll. Bad me. Not the whole thing, only half. I had a sandwich. Churn it. No, I don't control that. Thank goodness, because my body's going to handle that all on its own. So your digestive system, your stomach, the small intestines, large intestines, all of that is smooth muscle. The uterus is smooth muscle, which is why coming out of the uterus isn't so much like the contractions, like you don't control that. They contract on their own, which is why when you're on your cycle and you're cramping, that's contractions in your uterus. You can't get rid of them. Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? But you can't. There's no visible striations for this. The purpose of this is to propel substances or objects. That's an object. A baby. Yeah, it's just a large object coming from a very small opening. Foodstuffs. I don't know why we've chosen the term foodstuffs. Why don't we just go with a bolus? Foodstuffs? I've never heard that. Bolus? Yeah, you guys had one guy. It was awkward during reproduction. He tried to skip the girl day, but then I picked him up the next day. Got him. He stayed for the male reproductive, but tried to skip the female, but we took 2 days on it, so... He got it anyway. Anyway, so that's smooth muscle. Any questions about the types of muscle tissues? Oh, these have one nucleus.
These are on our lab.
No, there's no muscle or nervous cells on your lab test because we haven't covered up. Well, this is a tissue up through connective tissue. Muscle and skeletal will be covered when we talk, or muscle tissue will be covered when we do, like we have a whole lab on muscles, and of course the tissue will be in there, and we have a nervous system lab also, so neurons will be on that. Connective tissue is going to connect the epithelial with the muscle or skeletal, nervous. Yeah, they're in between tissues. Muscle tissue are the actual muscles. Okay. All right. So that was muscle tissue. I keep saying skeletal tissue. Muscle tissue. Nervous tissue. This is going to make a brain, spinal cord, the nerves. Anyway, it regulates the body. All the functions. It's going to be made up of specialized cells, the neurons. They're going to have the nerve impulse. And no, I'm not going to draw that because there's a picture on the next slide. And my drawing, you guys will laugh at because it's beautiful in my head. I can see it. It just won't come out the same. But I feel like I should try now.
Yeah, I want to. But nervous issues is that hard.
No, nervous issues. Actually, that's pretty good. I mean, well, it depends on the orientation in which you are. Like, if I lay down, some of them are sideways. If I stand up, some of them are sideways. I mean, they're in all kinds of orientations. They have all kinds of orientations. They're just moving around. The longest one is going to come from your spinal cord here all the way to your toe. It's a huge one. We'll talk about that when we talk about nerves. Yes, when we talk about the nervous system. The supporting cells, they're going to insulate and protect the neurons. That's going to be the myelin sheaths. Tongue twister there. Myelin sheaths and the Schwann cells. We'll talk about those. I'm sure there's a slide about that. Oh, yeah. That was this. Oh, that's in there. Yeah, we're not there yet. That's AMP2, isn't it? Yeah, that's AMP2. We're not that deep in the nervous system. We'll just talk about neurons in this one, I think. I don't remember. All right, so see, I did good, didn't I? I mean, I didn't have all the branching coming out, but look at that. That's pretty good. Say it was good. No, I'm joking. I don't need reinforcement like that. Yeah, that's what I was going for because I could see that in my head. This is the cell body. It's going to contain the nucleus. This is my dendrite or my axon. My axon, the dendrites are the ones that stick out. The axon is where we're going to have the impulse is going to go down that, and these will connect to whatever it's connecting to, whether it be a muscle, whether it be another neuron, whatever, that's going to connect to it. Okay? It does. It's branching. They link things so that a signal and information can be passed. So there's if I feel something here, it sends a signal all the way to my brain so I can process what I'm feeling, okay? Or I'm seeing something and that sends the message to my brain and processes it so I can understand what I'm seeing, okay? There's quite a few different types of neurons. We're not getting into that yet, okay? All right. Okay, so that was nervous tissue. We've talked a little bit about membranes and stuff. We talked about the different mucosa layers and the serous membrane, stuff like that. So we have the cutaneous membranes. If I said it wrong, I apologize, but that's how I feel like it should be said. Okay, sure. I accept that. It's not cutaneous.
No, how did you just say cutaneous?
Cutaneous. I think that's right, cutaneous.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah. I feel like I'm right. Someone needs a shot of 5-hour energy. That's not good for you. Anyway, it's made up of epithelium and connective tissue. And we'll go through what each one of them are. I've been trying not to talk ahead on things before, because there's pictures, and that helps. I think pictures are helpful. And you don't get me with my eyes closed visualizing it and talking about it, and you can't see what I see. But then you put it up there, you see what I see. Professor Smith just sitting there teaching, watching his PowerPoint. Maybe they're watching a video. I can't see. Oh, now he's talking to them. I just felt the need to narrate that. Yeah, I can't see me. All right. Hey. We're done with this slide. I can stop narrating what Professor Smith's doing. Oh, there we go. Yeah. All right. Cutaneous. The cutaneous membrane, that's another name for the skin. It's keratinized. What does keratinized mean? Lots of dead cells. Keratinized stratified squamous epithelium. That's the epidermis. Stratified means what? Multiple layers. Squamous. Squished. So I have a lot of dead layers of, and then a lot of live layers of squished cells, epithelial cells. It's going to be attached to a thick level of connective tissue, which is called the dermis. So you have the epidermis and the dermis. I will bring a model of that when we talk about the skin. Anyway, unlike all of our other membranes, it has a dry membrane, which should totally make sense, because if your skin's wet, you got touched by something wet. It's not wet. If it's wet, no, not today. We got a review today. You probably just washed your hands, or if you touch something that's wet, then you're like, oh, why is it wet? You want to know why it's wet, because your membrane is not already wet. So now it's wet, you want to know why. Or why someone else's is wet, because it's not supposed to be, right? So if you shake someone's hand and it's wet, you're like, oh, please say you just washed your hands.
Right.
And I'm like, or worse yet, I didn't actually touch on the way up. I just, yeah, it's disgusting. Like, I didn't touch, but I feel like I should Germex anyway. Now my membrane is wet, but it's wet with alcohol, which means that it's going to dry out quickly if you do this. Yeah, it's about dry. Okay. Anyway, that's cutaneous. All right. Mucosa membranes. So these are going to line a lot of our cavities. So we're going to have these mucous membranes. Well, this is a mucous membrane. So you know that you have a mucous membrane in your nose. Sometimes it's overactive and you're all like, and you have like, you got to blow your nose and put snot out. That's the mucus that your nose is overproducing. Okay. It's there for a purpose, to catch pathogens before they get in. That's why you make boogers. That's why you should never eat your boogers. That's more of a shot to little kids, because they're there to catch pathogens, and there's probably pathogens in it, and you just, like, your body went through all this effort to stop the pathogen from getting in your body, and then you just put it in your body. So much against what you were trying to do. Anyway, the mucosa layers are going to line all of the openings that are open to the outside. So nose, ears, mouth, eyes, vagina, urethra, anus, all of that is lined with mucosa layers. They're moist layer. They're going to be bathed by secretions or by urine, because the urethra will be bathed in urine, not a secretion. The urethra in males gets bathed in urine and secretions. Well, it's a dual purpose. The female urethra is strictly for urine. The male urethra is for urine and for reproduction. So it gets bathed in different things. Anyway, the epithelial sheet is going to lie over loose connective tissue. The tissue is going to be called the lamina propria. Lamina propria. There we go. Let me write that down. Lamina propria. And the function of these is going to just be to secrete mucus for protection and things like that. Okay. The lungs have a mucosa lining because it's still open to the outside, because coming in through here, going down through the trachea, all of that is going to be getting something from the outside that has not been, for lack of a better word, filtered. So our whole digestive tract is open to the outside. It's not technically in your body. It's like the hole of a donut. It's open on both sides, so it's a hole through you. And nothing goes into your body until it's been sterilized. And that's why we don't, like, die from eating food, because our food is horrible for us. Like, the things that we put in our body. And you're thinking, like, oh, we're eating a nasty hamburger, it's unhealthy. No, I mean, like, bacteria and all this other stuff that we're putting into us that's not supposed to go into our body. And it doesn't. It doesn't. We only absorb the macro, like the, somebody is really pumped. What was that? Professor Smith. Gotta be Professor Smith. He's so loud. We're only going to absorb the monomers of the macromolecules. If it's not one of those, we don't absorb it in. That's why we don't get sick from our food that often. Now, there are some things that stay in the digestive tract and cause problems with the digestive tract. They don't get absorbed into the body to cause havoc there. They're in the digestive tract, and your digestive tract is what's having the problem. You have diarrhea. That's the digestive tract. Throwing up, that's the digestive tract. It's not the rest of the body. Okay? And that's because something's in there that's not getting into the body and just making the digestive system not work properly. Okay? Any questions on that? Oh, serous membranes. We've talked about those, haven't we? Yeah. Now, it's like with the heart, it's a double membrane. So, you know, like putting your fist into a balloon, you have the one that's touching and the one that's on the out. What's the one touching called? Visceral, because you have visceral, a visceral response. Parietal, you don't want parietal touching your organs.
Oh.
Yeah, parietal is on the outside. Visceral is on the inside.
Oh, I thought you were asking for the outside.
Which, the one that's touching the organ is visceral. The one that's not touching the organ is parietal. Okay. So we have the parietal and visceral pericardium. That's the one that's around the heart. We have the visceral and parietal. The abdomen one, peritoneum, gotta look at it, the peritoneum, that's in the abdominal cavity, and then we have the pleura, which is in the lung cavity, okay? I threw it on the ground. Oh, okay, no, that's the case. Anyway, yeah. All right, I talked about all that. This one's easy because we've already covered this, right? That's just a little mini refresher. I like that they cartooned this, and then they, instead of capping it here, they cartooned his penis and scrotum. Like, but his gluteus maximus is not cartooned, and it's in the same level as the scrotum and the penis. Like, they could have just cut it there and stopped the cartoon and just left the picture as is. Like, I mean, like, or they could have just cut it off there. Like, we don't have, but somebody went through effort to actually color, like, draw that. Why? Anyway, tissue repair, 4.7. It's very important to repair tissue once damaged, because this is what your body's made up of, especially like epidermis. That's our body's barrier to the outside. If you cut it, you're exposed now to the outside, and you don't want to be exposed to the outside because the outside world is actually extremely hostile. We're just very adept at keeping the outside world out of us, okay? That's why you don't want to just take some pond water and inject it into your, But if you drink some pond water, chances are you'll be all right. I mean, there's a possibility that you'll pick up something that, you know, that wreaks havoc in your digestive system and then you know, die because of that. But, you know, yeah, you don't want that in your body. Yeah, although some of them can actually, like, break through. Like, they can break out. Like, they can get into your cells, not because they, like, match it, like, our body absorbs it and takes it in, but they actively can get into. Because, you know, there's those. Anyway, typically we're going to have what's called an inflammatory response. That's where it's going to swell up. It's going to get red. It's going to get hot. It's going to get red because lots of blood rush. It's going to get hot because lots of blood rushes. Why do we want a lot of blood rushing to an open wound? That's one reason, to stop the, so we have all the platelets running, the mesh and everything to close it up. What else is in our blood that we want near an open wound? White blood cells. So we want our immune system to be triggered from this. We want the immune system to rush to the place, and that's going to cause the inflammation, I mean the swelling and everything like that too, to try and contain it. Protect the body. So that's the immune response being activated. It's going to repair quickly. And inflammatory response is our repair mechanism. Okay, there we go. Okay, so tissue repair. The process of tissue repair. The first stage is going to be the inflammation. So it's going to happen in two ways. We're going to have regeneration. That's going to be the same type of tissue is going to replace the destroyed tissue. Okay, so that's the two ways it can do. One way is regeneration. So same type of tissue replaces the injured tissue. So if I cut myself here, epithelial tissue is going to keratinize, stratified squamous epithelium is going to replace that which was damaged. Okay, my original function, fully restored. Right here, fully restored. I can even feel it still. Now it itches. But I mean, I put a pole through my arm. And my skin, it has a little scar on it. Not very big anymore. It's tiny. The pole was bigger than that. The scar was like this big. Yeah, senior year of high school. Pole right through the arm.
I'll never forget. I don't even know what. I went somewhere. Next thing I know, I was walking. There was blood dripping. Mm. And I didn't even know. I couldn't see.
One right there, running outside of church, and I skint off. It wasn't that. It was like all of this. I just skint all that. It was like layers of skin that came off. Church is dangerous.
You were playing football or something?
I was running around in the parking lot. I have one on my knee. I have one here that I burned myself because, well, you know, I like to watch fire. Because it's pretty. And then I like to watch the smoke because it's actually erratic. Like, it's finding air pockets in the... So, anyway. So, you know, I had a match and I lit and I was watching it. And I didn't notice that it hadn't burnt down. And I dropped it on my leg. And I burned my leg. Anyway. The other method is fibrosis. This is where connective tissue is going to replace the destroyed tissue and original function is lost. Okay?
Is that
one
cystic fibrosis?
No, that one's a genetic disorder. All right, so the first thing that happens, we have inflammation that's going to set in. We're going to release the chemicals that cause it. So we're going to have dilation of the blood vessels so that we can get more blood there quickly. So dilation means that they're going to widen up so more blood can rush to them. We're going to increase the blood permeability. That means we're going to allow blood to go in and out faster. And then blood clotting is going to start occurring. So you see at this stage, we're going to have a scab that's going to start because that's the blood clotting process. Okay. Step two, we're going to have organization and restore the blood supply to it. So typically you're going to have some type of severing of the blood supply. So the blood clot's going to replace it with granulation tissue. And that's going to restore the vascular supply. We're going to have the epithelium. It's going to start regenerating. Fibroblasts are going to produce collagen fibers. And then anything that's not supposed to be there, any debris or whatever, they're going to get phagocytized. So our macrophages and everything, they're going to come in and they're going to get rid of stuff that doesn't belong there. So if you end up with dirt in the wound and it clots over, the body takes care of that so it doesn't stay in the body. Okay? All right. Next is regeneration and fibrosis for permanent repair. So your scab is going to fall off. The fibrous tissue matures. The epithelium is going to thicken and begin to resemble all of the adjacent tissue. And then you fully regenerate. The scar goes away, and you may or may not have a visible scar depending on how deep it was. If fibrosis happened instead of the regeneration, you're going to have scar tissue. Okay. All right, so ones that regenerate really well: epithelial tissue, bone, areolar connective tissue, dense irregular tissue, and blood forming tissue. These regenerate really fast, really well. Okay. Smooth muscle, so-so. Dense irregular tissue, so-so. The uterus does really well at fixing itself, but you can tell. If you look at someone's uterus who's had a baby, you can tell that they've had a baby because of the scarring of the uterus. Tissue that does not have regenerative capacity, cardiac muscle. If you have a heart attack, the tissue dies in that area and it does not ever come back. This is why heart attacks are such a big deal and why it's so important to have treatments quickly. Because a heart attack is when you lose blood supply to the heart. And if you lose the blood supply to the heart, cells will start to die. And if the cells in the heart die, they are dead. They do not undergo mitosis. It will not repair itself. Okay? This is why people die from heart attacks. Because if there's too much damage in the heart will no longer function. Because that area of the heart has lost its functionality forever. Okay? They're trying to come up with ways to, that's what that says, regenerate heart cells. They can grow some heart cells in the lab now. They do have one treatment that's available now that does decrease the amount of scar tissue in the heart. I can't remember the name of it, some insane name. But that's much better. She just drifting. Shit, head drooping and everything. I'm sorry, my heart attack stories are boring you. And she's like, oh yeah, so that's cardiac muscle. Nervous tissue in the brain and the spinal cord as well. This is why if you get an injury to your spinal cord, you become paralyzed, you stay paralyzed, you don't ever not be paralyzed. It's because of the spinal cord. The spinal cord is injured and it does not repair. In the brain, if you have, have you guys ever seen anyone who's had a stroke and like part of their face will droop? Does it ever get better? No, because that part of the brain is dead and it does not regenerate. It's when you injure the brain in a way where it cannot fix itself, it's called a contusion. It can't be fixed. Now you can bruise the brain. A concussion is a bruise in the brain and it does repair from that because it's only bruised. But if you actually damage or kill cells, that's it for those. Okay. All right. Any questions about that? Like, don't have a heart attack, huh? But that's the goal, always, not to have a heart attack. Yes?
Is there any reason why, specifically, that there would be
that type of cell just doesn't undergo, well, it says there that they see that it does undergo cell division. That's new to me. I even last year I didn't know that they knew that they undergo cell division. But I guess that's real new because it's copyright 2019. That's real new. But not enough to fix itself. Why do the ovaries decay? It's just something that happens in the human body that would be really awesome if it didn't. I don't think it serves any benefit to not. All right, homeostatic imbalance. So, well, it just turned off. It was like no teaching for you. There's a giraffe. There's a pretty giraffe. What? Oh my God, you're so weird. All right, so on the tissues that do not regenerate, sometimes we will get scar tissue that's going to impair the functionality. Here we have a heart. You can see down here, this is a drawing of a heart, though. You can see that, we have scar tissue here. So like in this area, it's not normal, and therefore it's not going to function properly. This can cause the organ to lose its volume capacity. It can be obstructed. And bottom line, it restricts or stops functionality. Okay? And that's the major thing, to stop the function. If this isn't working here, you're not going to get blood through as well. This is going to be very detrimental because, Mackenzie, hey, this part of the heart, where is it pushing the blood? That's going to do the full circuit around the body in the lower half. That's why it has so much muscle, because it's got to push from here. It covers everything below. This one's going to cover above. That's why it's smaller. Now, if I lose the muscle, yeah, you're not going to be able to pump it around. Yeah, it's got more space. I can get more blood in there, but I can't push it anywhere. So now you're going to be like, you're not going to make it well. You're going to be exhausted all the time. Your blood's not going to pump well. You're going to be exhausted because, yeah, you're going to breathe in, but the oxygen's not going anywhere because you can't pump that blood. No, you can't fix that. Why can't we fix that? Because heart muscle doesn't regenerate. Since your heart matured. Yeah, you can die because of that. Scar tissue in the heart is bad. It's very bad. That's why you don't eat unhealthy foods. It's why you don't smoke. It's why you really, really, really don't vape. Because vaping messes up the heart. It produces scar tissue in the heart. And you cannot fix scar tissue. Research has come out. Now, smoking cigarettes, really bad for your heart. Vaping, way worse for your heart than smoking ever could be. And way faster it can mess up your heart than anything, than smoking. It also does something called spongy lung, which can't be fixed. When you, the lung damage from smoking cigarettes, it can fix itself, but not from vaping. So it's actually way worse for you than smoking cigarettes are. Yeah, that's terrific. All right, scar adhesions. Scar adhesions, that's where we're going to produce this scar tissue that's going to cause an organ to attach to another one. Okay? This can be very, very detrimental. My mom, when was this, Wayne? I need to place it. No. That one was kidney cancer. Okay, so when I was in college, she got cancer the first time. Okay? She had kidney cancer. She had to have a kidney removed. She has really bad issues with adhesions. They didn't know that at the time. I flash forward a few years and I'm living in Greece. And I get a phone call from my dad because my mom is in, she's in the hospital. She can't eat. She hasn't gone to the bathroom like number two in weeks. They took her to the hospital. They said, like, hey, you need an enema, da 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 da, whatever. They sent her home. She's like really messed up. Now she can't eat or anything because nothing can get out. So she goes into the hospital, and this is where my dad calls me because they said she's going into emergency surgery. She's got like an hour before they're just prepping her for surgery because she's had adhesions and they've cut off in multiple places her lower intestines. So they're choking out her lower intestines. So she can't use the restroom because they're blocking the lower intestines. So they can be extremely bad. They can decrease functionality. They can cause organ failure, and that's what was happening with that. If they, the reason she went into emergency is because if it was choking it out like that, parts of her bowel could have died. But they got her in and they got that cleared out. What? In the bowel, the lower intestines? Let's look at Anatomy Bob. So these are the small intestines. So she had kidney surgery, and the kidneys are back over here, and they adhere. They made adhesions that blocked off this the ascending colon. So of the large intestines here, the part that goes up. You see, she had surgery on this kidney over here, and then it created adhesions that blocked off the ascending colon. Now I can't get it back together. It's too small. My fingers aren't that small. Okay. All right, so the derm layers. Remember, I told you we got to remember the